So the Pentateuch, as we look at a whole overview, my face is burning now. The Pentateuch is a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Christ. And we want to talk about that for just a minute. Do you mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was sitting in the office just a few minutes ago thinking about our study of the Pentateuch, and I just opened my Bible and just started with Genesis 1. And I looked at just that first scripture, y'all, if you want to turn with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I can't help but automatically think about John, the beginning of John. And y'all probably have the same thoughts that I do, too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we know that very Word became flesh, right? But the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So you think about how could we not see Jesus in that, knowing what we know about Jesus? And I just started flipping through Genesis, just turning the pages. And I thought about, well, wow, Noah and the ark. And how Jesus is our ark. He is our salvation. The ark was the salvation for Noah and his family. Jesus is our salvation. He's the one that carries us to safety, to life eternal with the Father. And then you just keep flipping and you think about, wow, Abram, in that 12th chapter of Genesis, when the Lord said unto Abram, he told him to get up and leave his country. Then look at verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Flip over to Galatians with me. And let's look at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be doing a lot of flipping if y'all are okay with that. Galatians 3. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's us, right? Children of faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Faith in whom? In Jesus. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then if you go down to verse 14, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So our blessing comes through Jesus. You see the correlation there? We are children of Abraham by faith now. You can keep flipping and look at Genesis 14. Do you remember when we read about Melchizedek? You remember reading in verse 18? And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Well, look at Hebrews 7:3. Remember the description that the writer of Hebrews gave of Melchizedek? Without father, without mother. Now, we know Jesus' mother was Mary. But he was born of a virgin. Who was his father? God. Without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Jesus, the Word of God, was in the beginning. Since the founding of the earth, the Word was there. Existed, but made unto like the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. We see Jesus in Melchizedek, don't we? But we could keep flipping through Genesis. Again, in chapter 17 with the covenant. Look at verse 7 in Genesis 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Remember what we just read in Galatians? How all that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And if you just keep on going, in chapter 18, this verse 14 of chapter 18 of Genesis jumped right out the page at me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you remember that's when the men visited and Sarah laughed about whether or not she was going to give birth to a son? Look at Matthew chapter 19, and I want you to see what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus is what makes things all things possible for us. Jesus has been, he was right in Genesis, right at the creation, all throughout the Pentateuch that we've been reading and studying. Let's keep flipping and see if we see anything else. In chapter 22, do you remember when the Lord had Abraham and asked him to give up his son Isaac? Well, we saw in our study with that how Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac, and how that pointed to a type of cross that Isaac carried. And you remember when his son asked him, Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Not knowing what was going on. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Who was that lamb? Jesus. You remember studying about the Day of Atonement? There's so many different correlations that we could see in our study of the Old Testament that point to the New Testament, that point to Jesus. And I'm just skimming the surface, just doing just a real quick snapshot. But I looked at, and just flipping the pages, in chapter 32. Do you remember towards the end of that chapter in Genesis, starting in verse 24, when Jacob wrestled with the man, the angel of God that he wrestled with, that he refused to let go of until he blessed him. And do you remember that angel, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and that the it says in verse 32 that the people of Israel didn't even eat the sinew because that the hollow of his thigh actually shrunk. And I was reminded of the absolute truth. The fact is that when we have an encounter with the Lord, it changes our walk. Everybody's walk changes. When you have an experience and an encounter with Jesus Christ, your walk changes. And you could just keep on flipping. I just turned a bunch of pages and looked at chapter 49. Do you remember the blessings? Were Judah's blessing? Jacob had called us all his sons together and he was giving out blessings inspired by the Lord. And we're reminded of Judah in verse 10 that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. We know that Jesus comes from that lineage, don't we? So when we look at that and we make that statement, the Pentateuch is a foreshadowing of Jesus the Christ. You could literally flip pages throughout the Pentateuch and find Jesus in them. You know, we were intentional with making the decision to start the associate's degree with the study of Jesus. And laying that foundation and going through the New Testament so that when you get to the Pentateuch and you start in Genesis, you see Jesus throughout. Because you have that foundation laid of who he is, his life, his ministry, his character. So this is not a flippant saying. The Pentateuch is a foreshadowing of Jesus the Christ. Everything we see throughout this points to Jesus. Even right down to, you remember when we were reading the Leviticus and going through all the different laws, how we found Jesus almost on a nightly basis with our classes. How amazing that was, because many of us had never even actually really truly read the book of Leviticus. But we see him. We see Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing? Talked a lot.
Yeah.
It's exciting to me. Is it exciting to you? How the scriptures reveal and everything points to Jesus. The scriptures reveal Jesus. You know, everything in our walk, our Christian walk, all comes down to Jesus. He's our focus. He should be our priority. He's our very life.
That's why it's important not just to approach the Old Testament as a history book, although we know it's history. But what does history tell us? What is history pointing to? You take the various events, the feasts or festivals, the ceremonies, Levitical law, the procedures, all these things are pointing to the coming of Jesus. If you think about the statement that Jesus made, he said that he had not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he said not one jot or tittle would pass away from the law until all these things were fulfilled. Well, Jesus fulfilled the law. On the cross, when he said, it's finished. In other words, I've fulfilled it. That's why in Colossians chapter 2, and if you look at verses 14 and 15, he's talking about how he has the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He's taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, he didn't nail a piece of paper to the cross. They nailed the body of Jesus to the cross, the body that had fulfilled the law. And so the law is nailed to the cross. Consequently, the curse is no longer in effect for those who are in Christ Jesus, who accept Christ. If the law is taken away, so is the curse. You follow me? And so Jesus has fulfilled all these things. And so we need to see him as we go through this book and then see how that applies to us, what he's actually done for us. You can look at it as this was for the Israelites. But Heather, when she started out, she was reading about the heathen. Well, that's everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. Right? You were. We all were. Thank God we're not now because of Jesus. And so this law is pointing to what would take place. And when God blessed Abraham, he said all nations, not just the Jewish nation, but all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That means all ethnic groups. You understand? We were alienated from God. We were without hope because Israel was exclusively singled out from all the other nations, and that was God's people, God's chosen, God's elect, you understand, pointing to the church being singled out as God's elect, called out of the religions and called into a relationship with the Lord. And so all these things that we're seeing in the Pentateuch is insight to Jesus. Not only is the Pentateuch a historical lesson, if you want to put it that way, we can learn all these things. Gives us insight into creation of man, of a nation. Okay. All points to Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. This is talking about Jesus and his redemptive work. We talk about the creation of man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. So what's Jesus doing? Here again is the new creation. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, we're called a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. What are we to do? What Israel was supposed to do? Show forth the praises of God, right? To represent God. So these things that you see in the Pentateuch is actually pointing to what was coming. Just as Adam was created, he was the first Adam. But if you read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it refers to Jesus as being the last Adam. That, and if you look at that, it's actually the Greek word is katos, which means the final Adam. In other words, what it's saying is, this natural race is coming to an end. I'm giving provision for this natural race to come to an end. Now, you see, the first man, Adam, was natural, still in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The second man was spiritual. The natural came first, and then the spiritual man. You follow me? And so what we're seeing in creation and all these things is leading up to what Jesus was going to do. Do you know the scriptures? I can't remember which one it is right off the top of my head, but it talks about Adam being a type, a shadow. He was pointing to what was coming. You know, second man's coming. First man blew it. Second man is victorious. You follow me? And so Jesus is just saturated in this Pentateuch. It's all about him. We profit from studying the creation and how God did things, but it should convince us that if God can bring visible out of invisible, he can do the same thing with you. You with me? Well, he has, thank God. So, it's been appropriately stated that the old covenant is the new covenant concealed, and that the new covenant is the old covenant revealed. Heather mentioned that we start our studies with the study of Jesus. And then when you go through the studies of Jesus and then you get to the Pentateuch, you start seeing Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Isn't it amazing? And that's what we're to find as we go through these studies. The whole objective of this college is to reveal Jesus in the kingdom of God. You understand? And the two go hand in hand. You with me? So, it's important that we recognize the Pentateuch as something more than a history lesson. It's actually a revelation of Jesus in the church. Adam, kind of natural race of people. Jesus, spiritual race of people, is called the church, the body of Christ. So you had something foreshadowing letting you know that this is coming. You got all that?
Mm-hmm.
So, Israel, then, is a type of the church. As a matter of fact, Paul writing, I believe it's in Corinthians, he talks about the church in the wilderness. So what's he talking about? A building? No. He's talking about the people. He's talking about the nation as a forerunner. The called, see, church in Greek, the word church is ekklesia. And if you look at the definition of ekklesia, it's calling out. It's where a group is called out from a mass, a group of people called out from a mass of people. Okay? And so the church is called out from the mass of people, just like Israel was called out from the mass of people. So, we have to learn from the Old Testament examples. Paul said they're written for an example for our admonition. And so learn from it, and we must be cautious not to repeat the pattern. What was Israel's downfall? Disobedience. Israel prospered. As long as Israel followed God, the word of God, Israel prospered. Their downfall was turning away from the word of God. And it's the same thing with us today. What is the downfall of any nation is turning away from the word of God to where it's minimized. Even our Bible colleges today are teaching that the Bible's not the infallible word of God. And we're teaching that some of the colleges are teaching that parts of it is not true. Well, who made you the judge of that? How did you know which part's true and which part's not true? Mm. You understand? You're setting yourself up to say you're no more than God. I'll take the word of God and I'll say it's not the word of God. And that's what a lot of colleges are doing. And this is what's wrong with our society today. We followed the pattern of Israel. We turned away from God. We stopped obeying God. We stopped following His laws, His statutes, thinking we have a better idea. And I've heard it said, it's a modern generation, and you can't go with this generation. You can't teach the way you did with the old generation. I had a top official to tell me that some of my teaching, that it would work for Moses, but it wouldn't work for today. Is that right? Yet God says He's God and He changes not. I promise you, if God gives that word will work for any generation on any continent. If it won't work for every nation on earth, then don't follow it as doctrine. I'm talking about the principle. You understand? Any nation on earth could have followed God. Even when Israel went in to the promised land, we'll find that we're getting ready to go into Joshua. You had seven nations that the Israelites were told to utterly destroy. Yet the very first city Joshua sends two spies in, and there's a woman in there called Rahab the harlot that had those spies because she absolutely believes that they're going to be destroyed. That God's God is the greatest God in the world, and there's no one equal to Him. And so she exercises her faith in God, risking her life in hiding these spies, and she's in the lineage of Jesus. That just goes to show you the mercy of God, that any that will believe in Him, God extends His mercy to him. And so that's how you and I got here. I suppose most everybody in the room is a Gentile, right? A Gentile is one who's not Jew by nationality. See, we were excluded. But through Jesus Christ, we are accepted. in the beloved. You follow me? And so we look at Israel as a type of the church. Learn from their example. Don't repeat the pattern of disobedience. But we have to learn to be obedient to the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And people say, I love you. You know, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, and yet they don't live like it. And so it's just something that you're confessing. It's a hypocritical thing. You're saying one thing but living another thing. You've got to be consistent in our walk. Now, just to bring this to your remembrance, there's seven festivals or feasts, as it's called in the King James Version, of Israel that were to be celebrated annually. Three of those feasts, all males were required to be at the place God had chosen to place His name. Okay? Now, four of those have been fulfilled. And because the four have been fulfilled, I believe the last three will be fulfilled. You understand? Passover, Jesus is our Passover. Right? The Feast of Unleavened Bread has been accomplished. The Feast of First Fruits has been accomplished. The Feast of Pentecost has been accomplished. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for the trumpets, the atonement,
mm-hmm.
and the tabernacles. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be fulfilled. Just as the first four were fulfilled, the last three will be fulfilled. And all this is attributed to Jesus. Do you have anything you want to say to us?
No.
Huh?
Maybe in a few minutes.
In a few minutes, okay.
Well,
all right. Genesis is the first book of the Pentateuch. It reveals the creation in relation to its creator, placing the creator above the creation. The creation didn't create God. Now that sounds elementary, but isn't it amazing how people, created people, think they can create God? And they make God in the image of themselves, in the image of animals, or even to the point of worshiping constellations. And yet Genesis shows us that there's nothing higher than the Creator. Even God Himself says, there is no God beside me. I believe that. So I'm not looking for another God. And it's amazing how people are searching for another God. And they want to get into all these studies of various religions. Now that's one thing we've refused to do in this Bible college. We do not have a course on comparative religions. There is no religion to compare. So why waste our time? We're going to spend our time looking at Jesus. Exodus is the second book of the Pentateuch. It reveals the natural power of man and the supernatural power of God. You just think about the book of Exodus and, you know, I mean, here Egypt is ruling, right? They have a whole nation in bondage. God delivers the nations out of the nation supernaturally. You understand, Israel wasn't mutiny on the bounty, so to speak. It wasn't an uprising against the government. It was God saying, let my people go. And if you don't, this will be the consequence. And you see the plagues of Egypt and how the land's destroyed supernaturally. And then how at the last, can you imagine this? God is saying all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die both of man and animal in one night. Now, what's the odds of that taking place? I'm telling you, it's the supernatural power of God. And it occurred, and here Israel comes out right in front of everybody. And not only that, they had just asked people for wealth for various things, and they had given it to them. And the scriptures say they spoiled Egypt. They came out with so much wealth. Israel came out with so much wealth, they got that from Egypt. You see the supernatural power of God parting a Red Sea. Who's ever heard of that? Or who's ever heard of God feeding men with angels' food? Or bringing water out of a rock? Or leading 40 years in the wilderness and their clothes don't wear out and their feet don't swell? This is the supernatural power of God. But you see the natural power of man rebelling all the way through that, wants to resist God-appointed leadership, like with Korah, natural man trying to take position God didn't give him. But it didn't end up well for him, you understand? And it won't in any generation. And so we see this man's natural power is no match for the supernatural power of God. It wasn't then, and it's not today. Leviticus is the third book of the Pentateuch. It reveals God's unalterable ways and the importance of man's absolute obedience. Now, Leviticus has been the law. The law is telling you the will of God. And I don't know why people don't get this. It's just simply saying, this is what God wants, this is what God wants, this is what God wants, this is what God wants. And if you'll do what God wants, it will go well with you. You will be blessed, okay? And so, it shows you that God is not changing to suit man. God says in Malachi, I am God, I change not. God never changes. In Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it's important that man absolutely obey God. You see this where God is telling Joshua, this book of the law, don't let it stop coming out of your mouth. You keep putting it in, putting it in, putting it in every day. Put it in, put it in. Meditate on it day and night, day and night. If you'll do that, you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Okay? But it's contingent upon absolute obedience. And the conquest that you'll see with Joshua is incredible because he did what he was told to do. Now, we can look at this and glean from it. It's important to do what God says. You look at Numbers, the fourth book of the Pentateuch. It reveals man's obligation to follow God's order and structure. Anyone that doesn't think God is a God of order, you need to go back and read Genesis 1. Or look at the book of Numbers and look at the instruction and look at the wisdom of God through even the setting up camp and the breaking of camp and how everybody has their assignment. I'm talking with the tribe of Levi, with the tabernacle and all. Everybody is to do things a certain way. Everybody didn't do their own thing. You have 12 tribes there. Well, I think I want to do this. I think I want to do this. No, you're going to go first, Judah. You're going to follow. You're going to follow. You're going to follow. You're going to follow. And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
No rebuttal. They said there is no rebuttal. When God gives the command, there's no rebuttal. I think my batteries are getting ready to go out. I'm getting a red light here. So humor me just a minute and let me change this, okay? You want to talk, Heather?
Well, now's a good time for us to stop and take a break because we're almost at the end of the session. And then we're going to pick back up with these final thoughts here about wrapping up Deuteronomy and the Pentateuch. So we thank you for your attention.